Hello, my name is Dr. Samuel Kim.
And I'm Sharon Kim.
And welcome to Research Sense for Korean American Therapy, a podcast that removes barriers and gives you a rundown of the latest Korean American mental health research. Today's episode's article is entitled Racial Discrimination, Distress, Coping Motives, and Alcohol-Related Problems Among U.S.-Born Asian American Young Adults. This paper was authored by Derek Kenji Aomoto, Jeremy Kane, Nalini Junko Neji, Anahi Collado, and Davud Tofighi. And again, my apologies for mispronouncing any of your names. This article was published in 2021. All right, Sharon, so what was the problem that these authors were trying to address in this paper?
Well, did you know that college students have the highest prevalence of alcohol use disorders among any other age group, right? And over 40% of college students who consume alcohol can be categorized as moderate or heavy drinkers.
I didn't know that. I suspected that there was high levels of alcohol consumption amongst college students, but I did not realize that it was that high. So that is pretty remarkable.
Right. And so what the authors were saying is that college students are actually at a high risk of alcohol-related problems and alcohol use disorder. And so this is a very high-risk group, but a lot of the studies didn't study Asian Americans. Asian American college students were grossly underrepresented, and they were overlooked or clumped together as Asian Americans, where there might be some differences across cultures.
And the paper went into talking about, well, why is that? Why are Asian Americans not really represented in these studies looking at alcohol consumption? Because I think we've talked about in a previous episode before how Asian Americans and Korean Americans do consume a lot of alcohol. And one of the things that the paper talked about was this model minority stereotype that it's just assumed that if you're Asian, you're going to be more studious and more into your books and things and not out partying and drinking, or less likely to be a part of Greek life, which has been known to have increased alcohol consumption. But what the study is suggesting is like, hey, alcohol consumption is pretty high amongst this group too.
I think it definitely didn't describe me as a college student. I did fit into that model minority myth, unfortunately. But
went to school in Korea, so you weren't a minority there.
That's true. But I think what the authors were also a little bit alarmed about is that racial discrimination experienced by Asian Americans in general have been on the rise. And research does show that racial discrimination is a frequent stressor among college students. And that in turn can have an impact on alcohol misuse, psychological distress, depression, and even physical health problems.
And I think that's really important to point out that this alcohol consumption is not, oh, if you go to college, you're just going to go wild because you can. What this paper is suggesting is like, no, there might be a reason for why all these students are turning to alcohol. And one of the things, and we've talked about it several times throughout this podcast, of racial discrimination and the effects of discrimination that has on one's mental health. And so this paper is talking about, you know, well, one of the ways that people cope with these sort of stressors that are systemic, and I do want to emphasize, these are stressors that most of us don't have any control over. One of the coping mechanisms out there is to drink. And a lot of Asian American college students seem to be turning to alcohol in order to cope with these acts of discrimination that are happening against them.
And the authors also seem to make an important point that not all, you know, alcohol use is going to lead to alcohol-related problems, because there are positive reasons people use alcohol, such as, you know, socializing with others, that doesn't necessarily turn into an alcohol-related problem that will come into your life. And so it's more of college students who drink to cope with their distress. They are at an increased risk of having alcohol-related problems compared to those who turn to alcohol for socializing for positive reasons.
And I want to emphasize that, like, you make a really good point, Sharon, that alcohol is not the, oh my gosh, if you have one drop, you're an alcoholic now. It's like, you know, you have one can of beer and now you've drunk too much and now you're going to have all these issues. What this paper is really talking about is when is being used for coping for all of these issues, such as the systemic discrimination and the stressors that the students are going through. Another important point that I think is coming out as we talk about this is it's not just a matter of weak will. It's not just, oh my gosh, I just want to go drown myself in alcohol, or I just want to like drink because I don't have anything better in my life. And it's not a matter of that. It's not a matter of just weakness. It's there are real reasons for why these college students feel like they have to turn to drinking such heavy amounts.
And so that was the research question. The writers wanted to find out, does racial discrimination that Asian American college students experience, does that have an impact on their alcohol-related problems? And their hypotheses were, first, that higher levels of racial discrimination that people experience, higher levels of distress, and higher levels of drinking to cope will be significantly associated with alcohol-related problems. And then second, that discrimination will heighten distress, which in turn will impact more alcohol-related problems.
So how did they do this study? Like, who do they go out and, you know, collect this data from? The article talks about that one of the authors had this large data set, and we don't have too many details on how it's collected, but apparently this author collected over 1,400 surveys from Asian American undergraduate students. Let me repeat that one more time. Over 1,400 Asian American college students. It just boggles my mind, like how they collected all this data. And additionally, the participants had to have been born in the U.S. If we look at the ethnic breakdown, most of the participants were Chinese American, then followed by Vietnamese, Filipino, and then Korean Americans. The average age, not surprisingly, is about 19.8 years, which is expected. And it was roughly divided fairly equally across freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. The majority of the students were women, and about a quarter of them were involved in Greek life in some way. So as Sharon mentioned, the main connection we're looking at, does everyday racial discrimination lead to, or is that related to, increased alcohol use? Mm-hmm. While that is one aspect of the research study that's being looked at right here, Sharon also mentioned these other variables. So one is psychological distress. So that's being looked at as well. Are they using drinking as a coping mechanism, as a way to kind of deal with the stressors and the things that are out of their control? And also just looking at how much alcohol is being consumed each week.
So some of the measures that they used in the survey, because they wanted to see if racial discrimination had an impact on alcohol problems, what they did was they gathered data on different types that we just mentioned. Do they experience racial discrimination, right? And so they asked questions such as, based on your race, how many times were you treated with less respect than others or received poorer service in restaurants or stores? And then they also asked about psychological distress. And this is something like, about how often do you feel tired for no good reason? And they kind of categorized their results into, do you have mild mental disorder or moderate mental disorder or severe mental disorder? And then they also asked some questions to gauge if they drink to cope. So how often do you drink to forget your worries? Those were some of the questions that they asked. They also just asked plainly, how much alcohol do you drink every week? So the quantity of alcohol consumed every week. And then the last one was they used a scale called Rutgers Alcohol Problems Index, which individuals are asked whether they use drinking to cope with their negative, they use the Rutgers Alcohol Problems Index scale, where this is how often individuals experience negative consequences because of their drinking. So for instance, I was not able to work or study for a test because of my drinking last night, or I missed out on other things because I spent too much money on alcohol. Those are negative consequences, and they categorize this into abuse and dependence, individual consequences, and social consequences that come from alcohol misuse.
And I'm glad that you went over the scales, because when we make these connections and the authors are saying, you know, there's a relationship between discrimination and alcohol use, it's not just that these authors asked, do you experience discrimination, yes or no? And do you abuse alcohol, yes or no? There's right. a lot more granular questions that are asked about certain behaviors. And then from those, you can kind of get a sense of where this person is in particular. All right, so let's take a look at the results and what they found. Interestingly enough, they said that 30% of students indicated moderate to severe mental illnesses. Wow. Now, 30%, it's like, oh, that doesn't seem that much. It's like, that's a third. One out of every three college students, Asian American college students, are reporting that they're experiencing moderate to severe mental illness. If it's moderate to severe, I cannot imagine a college student being able to get through everyday college life without some sort of dysfunction or some sort of barrier or obstacle or having some sort of difficulty. Mm. So these are students who are having trouble getting through day to day. All of the participants, so over 1,400 college students, reported that they experienced at least one incident of racial discrimination in the past year. And 60%, so almost two-thirds, almost two out of three of these college Asian American college students reported at least two incidences. That's a lot if you think about it.
That is a lot. Yeah. Can you imagine? I was very surprised.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting 1,400 people together and having all of them have had experienced something the same or having experienced the same thing?
Right. Right.
That's truly remarkable. Like, I can't imagine getting a room full of 20 people and finding a similar experience across all of them, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, the numbers were so much higher everywhere I looked when I was reading and studying this article. I was blown away by the numbers. I mean, 40% of college students that we mentioned in the beginning, right, that they consume alcohol and they're kind of categorized as moderate and heavy drinkers. 30% of them, 30% of Asian American college students reporting that they have moderate to severe mental illness. All 1,400 students, Asian American students, reporting that they've experienced racial discrimination. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot.
I think it's remarkable. I think this is the first time I've ever read a research study where all the participants had something, where a result included all of the participants.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel like the only other time I would see all participants would be like a question is, are you human?
Even then, do you think some people would?
That's true. Did you participate in the, you know, even then you can't say all of them. But it's like, I can't think of something where all the participants reported something.
That is true.
Yeah. Especially a study of this size. So yes, they did find a relationship between those who experienced discrimination of some sort with alcohol-related problems. And the relationship is as the incidences of discrimination increased, there was increased alcohol use. What's really interesting and what they looked at within the study is that this is not just a direct relationship. So just because you have experienced racial discrimination doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have alcohol-related problems. Mm-hmm. And if you remember Sharon talking about all these different scales, she talked about this psychological distress, she talked about drinking to cope. How does all of that fit in? Well, if you've experienced discrimination, the idea is that this experiencing everyday racial discrimination is related to psychological stress. Like if you experience discrimination, you're not going to feel good. It's going to have all of these psychological things just pop up for you, whether it's anger, frustration, self-esteem issues, et cetera. And then if you're experiencing that kind of distress, one question is, well, how do you cope? If you've develop this habit of coping by drinking because you just want to forget those worries. You don't know any other way to let go of that stuff other than to drink, then you're much more likely to have alcohol-related problems. So it's a little bit more complex. It's not just a direct relationship. There's all of these little factors within it as well.
Yeah. So as a conclusion, right, what the authors have found, and as Dr. Sam mentioned, Asian American college students in their study who experienced higher frequencies of racial discrimination were more likely to experience mental distress, and that in turn would influence that they would also experience greater number of alcohol-related problems. And so this kind of goes back to students might engage in negative alcohol use to cope with and regulate the stress that comes from racial discrimination.
So what are the implications for, I guess, our lives and for therapy? Well, because so many students reported having moderate to severe mental disorders, like Asian American college students, this isn't just college students in general, this is Asian American college students, and that all of them experienced some sort of racism, it's important to address and validate the experiences of these students. You know, before we got started, Sharon and I, we usually brief about the article before we start the episode, and both of us were thinking, why can't we just tell them to find a new way to cope? It's like, can't you do something else, like play board games or go work out or go outside and enjoy the air? And after thinking through that suggestion, just find another way of doing it, it almost felt patronizing. It's like, it made it seem like, oh, the drinking is completely under your control. And it almost make it seem like that even the racial discrimination experience is like, oh yeah, that's under your control. Just forget about it. Just don't think about it. And that's not really true. Like, these things are not under our control. And I guess there might be people out there who can turn it off with a switch, but I know I can't. And most of the people I've met just can't turn it off with a switch. And even though within therapy, after you've built that trust and rapport with a person to know that when you bring up the suggestions, like, well, what are some other things that you have done? And for that to not sound patronizing and belittling to the person, then I think that's a good place to explore. But if you know someone who is experiencing a lot of stressors in their life and they're using alcohol to cope with it, just telling them to stop drinking is not going to get you very far. And I would argue that kind of talk, just telling them, like, why can't you just stop drinking, may actually harm your relationship with them and potentially have that person feel embarrassed about drinking in front of you, which will then cause them to hide that from you, which I think is even worse than just the drinking by itself.
I think that's great advice for parents, honestly, parents of college students and students in general. I think it's not a matter of, right, as Dr. Sam mentioned, of, okay, let's treat the symptom of drinking and the negative problems that can come from that, whether that's, you know, dangerous behavior or drinking and driving, all these things. But it's more about there are so many factors, external and internal, you know, mental disorders or this racial discrimination that my child is experiencing right now, might be experiencing, they might not be expressing. They might not even know that those are influencing their behavior of coping with alcohol. And so as a parent, I think it's really important to just sit down and talk to them about these things, right? Talk about issues of discrimination, how they're dealing with that, and or have they even experienced it, and how are they dealing with it? What are some protective factors that work for them? And for me, I think it was a great reminder, just knowing that racial discrimination can have a huge impact on my mental health. This is not like indirect impact that can maybe have some sort of effect on my everyday life. No, I'm being affected by it every day. And so just knowing that, and then knowing that there are ways to cope with it, I think is something that parents can raise awareness about with their students, with their children.
Yeah. And I would say that for many parents, there's a temptation to say that, oh yeah, I've experienced that too, and I just forget about it, or I don't think about it. It's very dismissive to their children. And frankly, it denies an opportunity for you to connect with your child, because that is an experience that you and your child have both gone through. And that's something that your child probably has not had an opportunity to really process with anyone. And how great would it be if they could process it with their parent? I think for a lot of parents that I've talked to in my experience, they say that it's so hard. They don't want to talk to me and I don't know what to talk about with them. Jumping in and telling them to stop drinking is not the best way to start a conversation.
Right.
There, it's not so much the drinking that needs to be addressed, but building your relationship between you and your child is going to be much more important. Because if you have that relationship with your child and you've developed that conversation, that's not just about lecturing them or telling them what to do, but really sharing your life experiences with one another, that will allow opportunities for them to come to you and tell you about the stressors that they're going through and how you have gone through them as well. And it's okay to be a little vulnerable. As a matter of fact, thinking about my own parents and what they experienced here in the US, I felt much more connected with them when they were sharing openly about the racial discrimination experiences that they had. And when they were telling me how frustrated and angry that it made them, like that made me connect with them more, much more than when I was a much younger and they would tell me, it's like, oh yeah, that happens. Forget about it.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great way for, and what a great reminder that as parents, we need to focus on building our relationship with our children instead of correcting their behavior first. So that's really great.
And I will also add that we completely realize that that's hard work. Like building a relationship with your kid, especially if it's not the best in the world, that is very hard work to do. But I have yet to see an example where that hard work did not pay off. Well, we talked about a lot this season, and I cannot believe it, but we're already to season 2 finale.
Wow. So
next week is our last episode of season 2. And what is the article that we're going to finish off the season with?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about Korean American parenting style, which I'm also excited to learn about. It's called The Mediating Role of Korean Immigrant Mothers' Psychological Well-being in the Associations Between Social Support and Authoritarian Parenting Style.
That sounds like it's going to be a lot that we're going to talk about next time. We hope that you'll join us and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed our episode, please subscribe to our podcast and check out more at mustardseedgeneration.org
and samuelykim.com. To keep these episodes coming, rate and share on wherever you listen to this podcast.